9:40 now, and happy to welcome into the studio Kim McNeil. Kim and I go way back, what, 5 minutes? Five, 6 minutes?
Right.
You got an amazing smile, and you got a nice aura about you.
Thank you.
And considering everything you have gone through, that's a pretty remarkable statement right out of the gate. I'm looking at a picture of your son, Ross, and the Ross K. McNeil Foundation to End Pediatric Brain Cancer website is R33M.org. That's R33M.org. And before we talk about the orange Jeep, tell me about him. What kind of little boy was he?
Ross was happy all the time. And as simple as that says, there are so many examples I could share all day long about how he lived his life with tremendous joy. It was such a lesson to learn and observe as a mom, as a person. He loved hockey, played hockey, had a great group of friends, worked out.
Loved sports.
Loved sports.
Do you like school?
Just loved school, except math. Probably would
social kid.
Say he loved math. Great, huge group of friends. It still remained very close to my family. That's the kind of person he was, but it's also the kind of friends that they are.
The foundation that you're dedicated to, you used a great term off the air a second ago talking about how you're on the clock, and we're all on the clock, right, to fight pediatric brain cancer. We're going to tell you how you can help. But in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about Ross when he got sick. It was second grade?
Right before second grade, summer before July, just having occasional headaches. We really thought maybe it was a hydration issue, playing 6 days of a week of
allergies,
hockey.
Who knows, right?
Right, you don't know. So we scheduled an MRI just to try to give him more assistance with a headache. At 7 years old, you know, you shouldn't have a headache. And just got completely blindsided by this behemoth that comes into your life, which is a brain tumor.
What kind of tumor is it?
Ross had a medulloblastoma, and we were sent that night, June 3rd, that they discovered it in the MRI, sent straight to Children's Memorial, then up in Lincoln Park, and they resected. He had surgery a few days later, and that was the beginning of a four-year battle for him.
And I assume it was a roller coaster, right? You probably, the good days, the bad days, the hope, and then the loss of hope and all those things.
Right. And first of all, you don't go into it thinking, okay, we have 4 years to persevere, right? You go into it thinking we remove it through surgery successfully. We treat it with protocol, which is chemotherapy and radiation. By the way, a seven-year-old in that diagnosis, my son received a lifetime dose of radiation to his full brain in 30 days. So you go into that thinking, okay, we're going to put all of our guns out there, the best that we have, and then the seven-year-old should grow up and live a strong and happy life. And that is not, in fact, what happened. And to your point, Steve, it was a roller coaster. 10, 11 months, cancer-free, strong, healthy, back into life in every way, and then it returns. And for him, it returned three times, ultimately, to win.
The type of tumor that he had, or pediatric brain tumors in particular, are they excessively insidious? Because the success rate to be able to beat this long term doesn't seem like it's great.
No, the success rate, first of all, for children, for anyone, but for children most especially, is absolutely not good enough. You know, statistically, somewhere around 50% survive that diagnosis, but the rest of that story is the price that they pay to survive their diagnosis is significant because of the treatment.
Yeah, the treatment can be, you know, the old cliche, right? The treatment's worse than the disease. Right. I know at Northwestern, they're doing things with laser treatment to try to, especially in pediatric cancer patients, mm-hmm. to try to hit the tumor and not damage the surrounding tissue. What's right. the success of that? Do we know?
Well, radiation in that case, radiation proton therapy is much more specific, but it really goes back to the diagnosis and the type of brain tumor. Fortunately, in research, we are getting more and more information, even more information than we had when Ross was diagnosed, about subtyping the brain tumors. I wish there were one type. We could be more successful in a rapid fashion to go after that. There are many subtypes, and of course, as you can imagine, we won't detail here, but therefore, the treatments and the therapies to be successful against those subtypes are all very specific. But there's tremendous progress that's been made in this field even since my family entered into it.
And the more money raised, the more progress can be made. Again, the website's the letter R33, the letter M.org. There's an orange Jeep in this story, and this is such a cool story. He fought this for 1,411 days, and he loved it. I want to get the quote right. He said, "How can you not be happy
and wear orange?
And wear orange. He loved the color orange.
Love the color orange. It just started coming up more frequently in the school clothes, you know, rotation. And finally, one day, I just said, "Buddy, what's up with orange?" And that's when that quote came at me, not knowing that I would need or want to share that quote later. But he just literally said, "Mom, you can't be unhappy and wear orange." And as an adult, you stop in your moment and say, "That's
genius." Is what that is. It's genius.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, who saw the orange Jeep first? Was it a commercial, or how
Ross
did the orange
saw
Jeep?
It driving around town. There was another family that had one, and every time it would drive past, he would make note. And one day, he sort of claimed that as his college car.
Yeah,
and that's when
there's
I got noticed.
There's this heartbreaking moment where you realize as a parent, you go, "We may not get to college here." Right. And the orange Jeep was a limited edition Jeep.
Yes.
So what'd you do?
2012 limited edition. Those start to, you know, leave the lot, and I said to Ross's dad, "It's not likely that college is going to happen. So maybe we should advance that." And so in 2012, for Mother's Day, my children gave me that orange Jeep. And so the blessing, I guess, as you look back, is he had a year to ride around in that and enjoy it.
And he told you, "Wait a second, Mom, I don't have a license."
Well, there were a couple of times, now I'm on public radio admitting this, but there were a couple of times where I said, mind you, it was only a few blocks, "Would you like to drive home?" And the funny conversation, this gives you a glimpse into his humor, was he kind of gave me that dry look and said, "Well, I don't have a license, Mom." And I said, "Well, I do." So hop on my lap.
Yeah.
He was too short to see over the dashboard.
"I'll do the pedals. You hold the steering wheel."
There you go. And down the road we go. Okay.
Or in other words, how we drove our father's home in the 70s.
Yes. I heard that earlier. Yeah. I used to nap in the back seat in a window.
Yeah.
I love that he was able to enjoy the orange Jeep with his buddies.
I do too.
You should feel great about that.
I do. He had, for an 11-year life, I hope, in my lifespan, I have the kind of rich experiences that he did. Some intentional and some not intentional.
Sure. Your daughter is just off to college, but she works very hard on the foundation as well.
She does.
I know. What's her role?
Rachel has, from the very beginning, been a part of everything in terms of our creative planning, events that we do, how to capture all sorts of audiences, especially younger audiences that she's certainly connected to. And she's off to school, as you said, studying photography, and she's done all the photography for us at events that are on our website, that are social media. So it gives her a chance to give back to something that is indescribably meaningful to her, but also a tremendous experience, and she's good at it.
The website's great. You can buy stuff.
Thank you.
You can get some gear.
Yes.
You can also make a cash donation.
Right.
And as good as this story would be, if you were just trying this as a one-horse family here, you've made this thing huge in very short order. How much money have you raised?
We are coming around the corner to our first million in about 3.5 years. And that I would say, is at the hand of tremendous support in the community, friends, family, people far past Chicagoland. The Chicago Blackhawks have and always have remained very close and supportive of us. So that million doesn't come at a slow pace. We drive a very hard pace. But, Steve, the reason that we drive that hard is we know this is an achievable thing. This can be accomplished. We can deliver better therapies to these children than they have today.
And they need more than a miracle. They deserve a miracle.
Right.
But they need something medical and scientific to come along quicker than it's coming right now.
Absolutely. And funding research is, in our opinion, is the path to getting that done. And so we intend to run as hard and as fast as we can. Our method is twofold, really, to raise money, but also, as you're helping us do today, to raise awareness that, as you understand, there are 13 children, new children each day that get this diagnosis. So we're adding into the bucket every day, and that is something that we intend to try to slow down, if not stop.
There's an organization that you guys know I've talked about many times called Cal's Angels. Mm-hmm. And Cal lost his battle after a tough fight at 13 years old. And his dad and his stepmom, and I know his mom's involved on a different level as well, they're all in this fight together. I don't say this lightly. How do you get up every day and dive right back into this most painful part of your life?
I would say that I think about how Ross got up every day. And some of those days we were headed downtown for brain surgery. Some of those days we were headed downtown for a three-night stay at the hospital for chemotherapy, which is poison in a little guy's body, in your body. And he never complained and never cried, had a smile on his face, would greet everyone he saw along his way. If he can do that, how can I not do this? Honestly, that's it.
You said something off the air, which I think is an amazing bit of inspiration and a message for people going through what you've gone through. And maybe they're at a different stage. Maybe they just got their diagnosis. But you said off the air, you said, you can survive this. I think that's really important for people to hear from you.
You can. You can, as a mom, as a family member, it is your greatest horror to let go of a child. But to find something that is meaningful and that you know he actually inspired and wanted us to do is helps you make that good life continue. It doesn't take away the hole that's left by his life.
Sure.
And his smile. Nothing fills that. That's not even my pursuit. The pursuit is how can we give to someone else so that they aren't in the same spot.
You get any help federally? What sort of walls do you run into in Washington? And have you had a chance to talk to either Senator Durbin or anybody in the House?
Right, right. That situation is most, I think, clearly framed this way. Pediatric cancer research, now pediatric cancer, not just specific to brain cancer, gets 4% of the federal budget through the National Cancer Institute, 4%. Brain cancer, our specific diagnosis, gets less than 1% of that 4%. The end of that story, Steve, is we are not going to make it on the Hill. That's not a political issue. It's not a party issue. It's the circumstance that we have. Therefore, in our foundation, many other foundations, we know that this must be us. This must be a private funding effort. We take it on. We aren't going to wait. We cannot wait.
Politics isn't going to fix it for you.
Pardon me?
Politics isn't going to fix it.
Politics isn't going to fix it fast enough.
Right.
And maybe at some point something will turn that and we will gladly welcome it into the fight without a doubt, but we also aren't going to wait for that. So this has to be us, and that's the role that we take on at R33M.
It had to be tough for your daughter to go to school.
It was. It was one of those bittersweet. She was ready. She deserved it. She is an incredibly mature and successful girl in her own.
But as amazing as you are, I'm thinking she's at school worrying about you.
I hope not.
Yeah,
she's
right?
Far more amazing than I am. That's a true statement.
The website again is the Ross K. McNeil Foundation, r33m.org. You can make a donation right now.
Yes.
Right now, and you can help. And do you have events throughout the year that you do as well, I assume?
We do. We have events. They're all posted on our website. We, as you can imagine, we have two indoor youth hockey event, outdoor men's winter hockey, which is very popular, and other competitive events. And then we enjoy a lot of third-party support as well. All of the details can be found on our website, and we welcome people to those events. They're very fun, but truly, the point of the matter is the more we can fund, the quicker we can solve this problem, and we would love to have everyone's support.
You're really good at this. You're a really good spokesperson for this. Were you in this business prior to this in some way? What were you doing before you were a mom?
Before I was a mom, I had a wonderful job at a large healthcare corporation up on the north side of town and was in sales and marketing. I did write radio copy when I was in college, but I would probably say I was bad at it.
Well, we could use you here. Last word from either one of you guys.
I just think what you're doing is fantastic, and I love the orange. And you know, I'm probably every time you see a sunset,
yes,
or even a sunrise with the brilliant orange colors, he's watching over you.
Thank you.
And it's a good thing you're not a football fan, because the Illini football team is really struggling, right?
That's right. That's right.
Maybe he could be their guardian angel, you know?
They could
use it, yeah. It's
or
okay.
Right now
you can
he's
say
worried
it.
About his sister's Miami of Ohio team. He's going to take care of them, please.
Right, right.
He's cheering for the Redhawks at Miami, I think, and his beloved Blackhawks, for sure.
Yeah.
So, and I'm pleased to hear the Blackhawks story, but not surprised. They're great people over
not
there.
Not surprised.
Pete Hassan and everybody over there, and Jay
They're
and
amazing.
All those guys. And it's great to meet you.
Thank you.
You're likewise. Something else.
Thank you for helping us share our story and
Well, frankly, I'm surprised we both got through it without losing it. But
now we can, right?
Yeah, exactly. R33M.org. Help when you can. We're back with Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN.